Welcome to the Shepherd Series for Men. Every generation has had to wrestle with discovering how they fit into this ever-changing world. That is a natural part of becoming an adult. And I don't think it's an over-exaggeration to say that this generation may be having a harder time than any other of the previous generations. And this seems to be especially true with young men. The Shepherd Series is meant to help all men, but especially young men, to reclaim their identity, who they are, and discover or rediscover that role that they were created to fill. Knowing how you fit into this world is the first step to living the kind of life that all men want, a life of purpose and fulfillment, a good life. So, grab a cup of coffee and your Bible as we grow together in this series, in this study, Shepherd, Reclaiming Man's Role in the World. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come, thank you for this time that we gather. We gather as men, and not just men, we gather as your men. We thank you, God, for the grace that you pour out on us. Lord, we've been blessed by a time of fellowship and food. We've lifted up our hearts and voices to you. And now we come humbly before you, and we ask, Holy Spirit, first that you would minister through your servant, that you would open up my heart and mind and mouth to speak your word. And I pray, Lord, for your men, and I include myself in this, Lord, that I ask that you would speak to all of us about what it is that you would have us to learn from this time, that this not be a time of a time that we waste, but in it, Lord God, that we learn something that draws us nearer to the glorious creation that you made us to be, and that you help us, Lord God, to be better than we were. Better than we are. We're not as good as we should be, but we're getting better. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're so gracious and merciful and loving and kind, generous. And if we are willing, that you will take us from where we are and take us to where you would have us to be. And we lift up this time now, and we ask for your blessing upon it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We're continuing our series that I started last month, and this is a series for men, right? That makes sense. Bunch of guys here, right? If you're not a guy, go. And if you're not sure if you're a guy, we're living in a culture that has drifted so far from the simple gospel that we can almost despair for the future and wonder, is there any hope for this world at all? Well, we shouldn't despair. Our God is still on the throne. He still has a plan. He is still working in the world around us, and his desire is that he would work through us. Now, I have a particular heart for men because I believe God's called men to a very specific task, and that is a task of being in front, of being the ones that are taking the culture, leading the culture, helping the culture, convicting the culture, drawing the culture into the place of being right with God. Now, women can do it too. I don't mean that they can't. But I believe God has ordained men specifically for that task. If God does allow this culture of ours to continue to decline, there's hope out there. You know, recent changes give me hope that it won't keep declining, or at least it won't decline as rapidly. But if he does allow it to decline, it will be so that his glory would shine that much more brighter when he does come back. Because he's coming back. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back. Last month we talked about the reason for this series. The culture is confused. right? Can we acknowledge that? The culture is confused about a great many things, even some simple things like what is a woman or what is a man? And this confusion has led to some absolutely abominable, horrific, terrible things going on in our culture. Not just in the culture, all around the world. On Thursday, I saw on X a woman introducing her months-old baby boy that she was transitioning to be a girl. She was bragging about being able to go and get hormones to prevent her boy from becoming a boy. Now, I have a lot of questions, but my first question is, where is that boy's father? Why isn't a man standing up and saying, not only no, but hell no? Sorry. I hope I'm not. You're all right, right? Okay. Where are the men in our culture? Why aren't they standing against the decay and the corruption, the perversion we see all around us? Now, we could spend all of our time talking about that. We're not going to. But the reality is that there is a problem in this world. And again, most of these things are not new. Right? They've been going on for a long time. We see kind of a cresting of them. We see, you know, what in my mind I'm praying is the highest, most perverse expression of it. I'm probably wrong about that. But the purpose is to ask a simple question. What is a man? Now, we should know that, right? We should be able to answer that question. As men of God, we should be able to answer that question. Why should we be able to answer that question? Because we have the answer. God gave us the answer. So, before starting this series, I asked, and some of you were involved in this, I asked a question, a simple question. Don't answer it. Because some of you know the actual answer I'm looking for, so don't answer it. I asked the question. I know you know. Be quiet. I asked the question, what one word best describes a man's role in this world? Now, I was expecting three answers. Three answers. If somebody were to answer to me, they would give me one of three answers, and I was not disappointed. I got all three of them. The three words, and I know if you're sitting here and you don't already know the answer I'm going for, you would say leader, provider, protector, right? Those of you that don't know the answer I'm actually going to give, that's what you were probably thinking. That's what we've heard for a long time. That's right. Now, out of these three words, if you just narrow it down to those three words, and there's other words we could use as well, but if you narrow it down to those three words, which one of them best describes a man's role in the world? Well, the simple answer is none of them. Not one of them is the best answer for that. Now, we might defer to one. We might be inclined to one versus another, but the answer is there's another word. Now, I would say to you, all three of those words should apply to all men. They are a part of what a man is, but not one word that describes them all. So before we get to the word I'm going for, I want to look at something else. Let's remind ourselves of a spiritual truth. In Genesis 2:18, God said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. When God created humans, he did them in his image. And then he imparted to humans, all humans, male and female, he imparted to them characteristics that were similar to the characteristics of God. Now, mankind manifests them greatly imperfectly. They are far from perfect in those characteristics, but they are manifested there in a way. And in this verse, one of the things we see and we're reminded of is the reality of the community of God, that God is a community. He is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one, in perfect unity of community. We are created as humans to be in community with God and others. In fact, it is really bad to isolate humans from one another. You know, we can get into lots of different things, the way that manifested in life, but the reality is that God created us to be together, to be in community with one another. Marriage and family are the two communities we are most active in, typically. There's also work, school, neighborhood, hobbies, church, and we can probably go on and on and on, political something or other. There's all different ways we could probably define whatever community we might be in and say, okay, I'm a part of this community. I play a role in this community. So if we're going to define what a real God-honoring man is, it's always going to be in connection to or relating to community. That has to be a part of the definition. So if we go back to our three common words used to define a man's role, you know, is a man always a leader in every circumstance, every part of his life? No, not really. There are situations and circumstances where you're a follower, not a leader. Is he always a provider? No, not always a provider. Is he always only a protector? Nope. Not always any of those things, only and all the time. So that's the obvious answer. Of course not. We bring those out as we need them, as they're required of us. So we're created in God's image to be in a community. The Bible teaches also something else about how God made us. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So if you're a Christ follower, not only are you made to be in community, but you're made to be in community and being conformed into the image of Christ. So if we're going to define what a man is, it has to be with the reality that we're doing it in the definition has to include the idea of community, but also it has to reflect the nature and character and attributes of Christ Jesus. So Jesus has to be a function there. He has to be kind of wrapped up into the definition of what a man is. Part of why I think this world is so messed up. You keep Christ out of the equation, and you can take it anywhere you want. And wherever you want is typically wrong. So open up your Bibles, if you have it, to John chapter 10. We're going to look at a couple of verses, actually more than a couple. There are many words that we use to describe Christ. There is Messiah, Savior, Lord, God the Son, God the flesh. He referred to himself as light and water. The Bible depicts him both as suffering servant and King of Kings. Lots of these titles, and we would all acknowledge that none of those titles can be claimed by any of us, right? You would say that, okay, I can't describe myself as any of those things. They are reserved for him exclusively. But here in John 10, we find a title that we can aspire to, and I believe we should aspire to as men. So in John chapter 10, starting in verse 7, it says this, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone hears or enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly.'" So first, Jesus here establishes a couple spiritual truths. the sheep are God's people. So if you are one of God's people, you are the sheep in this parable or illustration that Jesus is using. Also, Jesus is the door, the only door, meaning the only way to be one of God's people is by Christ. And we've got that elsewhere. We can go to those other verses that talk about that. But there's only one way to God, to Jesus, or to heaven, and that is through Christ Jesus. There is no other way. There's lots of other people saying there are other ways. Let me just tell you clearly, they're wrong. And I can say that as graciously as I can, or I can be just as ugly as... No, I'm not going to be ugly. The fact is, they're wrong. And I have to say that. Because if I don't say that, then there are people thinking they're going to make it to heaven when they're not going to even get... They're not even going to get close. And they need to know that. It also states here that we have an enemy. And he is seeking to steal and to kill and destroy every good thing that God intends for his people. We have an enemy. And we should never forget that, because he's always trying to get at us. Now, this brings us to the title that I think relates to us as men of God. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, it's my belief that the word that best describes what God would like to see in his men is this word as shepherd, shepherd of God's people. I believe that is the word that best defines what God is calling us to. And if we go back to our three words, you can find in the definition of a shepherd, in the role of a shepherd, as a shepherd is shepherding his flock, all three of the things we were talking about. But he doesn't do them all at the same time. And if you study the life of a shepherd with his sheep, you find there's a lot of other words in there too that we don't often associate with men, but we should. Now, I believe there are some who will be called to shepherd the lost. But for the focus of this series, we're going to be focusing on the flock of God's people. That as men, especially men of God, our primary focus must always be first God's people. Because if we're not ministering to God's people, if we're not shepherding God's people, we have no business speaking to those who aren't God's people. We must start with the flock of God, especially the flocks, those little flocks that are closest to us. Now, we might think that, okay, well, that shepherd, that's a title that's limited or used by the spiritual leaders of the church. 1 Peter 5, 2 through 4, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. This is Peter speaking to the elders of the church, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that be Christ Jesus, appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So that is an exhortation to the spiritual leaders of the church, the elders, the pastors, whatever title you might use within the church, and those found within the body of Christ. Now, there's another interesting thing that the Bible teaches is, where do you find the spiritual leaders of the church? In the body. It's in the church. Where do we go to find spiritual leaders of the church? The church is where we find them. David, we recently ordained David as a pastor. Before we ordained David, we wanted to see him pastoring before we ordained him. The same thing is true. When we choose elders, we choose them because they are manifesting the characteristics of an elder. We don't pick an elder and say, okay, Miles, we're going to make you an elder, so start studying. You know, and you start figuring out what it means to be an elder. Well, even David is still figuring out what it means to be a pastor, but he was manifesting those characteristics. That's a lifetime process, by the way, figuring all that out. If we are to draw the elders and the pastors from the body, from the men of the church, what does that say for the rest of the men of the church? Shouldn't all men be aspiring to manifest those characteristics of an elder, of a pastor? Because ultimately, what we do here is a larger scale operation for what we ought to be doing elsewhere, specifically at home. Every home is a church, is a little church with a small flock, and the man of that church ought to be doing what? Shepherding. Shepherding. Every man, I believe, is called by God to be a shepherd. Where? At home? Yes, absolutely at home. Where else? Everywhere. Everywhere. It doesn't matter. You can't tell me any community you're in, and I will explain to you. I'll help you understand. I'll help you discover what it means to be a shepherd in that environment. Because we can be, we should be a shepherd in that environment. Every man is called to be a shepherd. Well, the reality is not every man is yielded to God in that way, right? Would we acknowledge that? We should be able to acknowledge that. We can look around the world and see very clearly that most people do not recognize their role. Men, some of them don't have any idea what it means to be a man or even what a man is. So how could they imagine themselves being a shepherd of God's flock? In verse 12, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Most men, including men who call themselves Christians, are not fulfilling their role as shepherd of whatever flock God has placed them in. If they were, then we'd see less of the carnage we see going on in marriages and families and communities and churches and other things like that, all these in the world. We would see less of it. Now, it wouldn't prevent it all. There's no way. There's no way to prevent the carnage because people will be people and they'll do what they do, and we can't stop that. But there would be less of it if men were standing up and doing their part. Now, please, do not take this as a rebuke. I'm not calling out anybody. I'm not saying anything. The reality is all of us need to know this. Many of you are already doing it. Okay, great. We have other people around us who aren't. We need to help them figure it out, too. We may have sons that aren't doing it. We may have, you know, brothers or sisters, not sisters, brothers or uncles or whatever that we might be able to minister truth to help them figure it out. And there's a point here in those two verses where he says that when they see the wolf, when the hireling sees the wolf come, they run away. And who pays the price? The sheep. They suffer. Man, I think this is one of the reasons why I am so passionate about this. There are so many women, children, others suffering because men won't stand up and be men of God. Man of God, we typically can shrug all that kind of stuff off and we just go be whatever we want to be. And the stuff we leave behind can be terrible. And they do it because they're not vested in it. They don't care, it says. Now this is a group of men. I'm not talking to you guys. You guys are amazing. You're here on a Saturday morning. You're loving Jesus on a Saturday morning. Well, you're loving pancakes and Jesus on a Saturday morning. And this small group of people is not going to change the world. May not be able to change the world. God did a lot with 12 guys, well, 11 guys. He did change the world. Could he not take a small group of men and do something radical? We have to believe. So Jesus, we're told here, is the good shepherd. And there's a concept in this next part that I think is absolutely vital to being a shepherd of God's people. Picking up in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, he says, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus says, I lay my life down. Now we know the ultimate expression of that is going to be Jesus going to the cross to die for our sins, the sins of the whole world. We know that's the ultimate expression of that. But that phrase, lay my life down, says so much more than just that. In John 15, 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Now that verse is not speaking about dying. While I think the one in John 10, that is the ultimate expression of it, John 15, it's not. It's speaking about living and laying my life aside for my friends. It's about setting aside those things that get in the way of you fully loving others. Because God and his omnipotence and everything about him, expresses love in dramatic and radical and miraculous ways. One of them is sending his son down to step down from heaven, God stepping down from heaven and putting on human flesh, living among us, and then dying for our sins. As shepherds, we should be willing to die for those we've been called to minister to. We should be willing to die, to lay our life down. But dying physically ought to be the last resort option. Because if you die for them, you can no longer shepherd them. And I believe shepherding them is significantly more important than dying for them. The more noble act is to set your life aside so that you can shepherd, so that you can love them, so that you can shepherd them to God, lead them, protect them, provide for them. All those things that we know a shepherd does, or we will learn that a shepherd does, we ought to be doing those things for the flock. Now that means I have to put aside my dreams and desires and wishes and cares and hopes, and I have to put all those things into the hands of Christ Jesus and trust that he is going to do with them what he wills. Now, can God fulfill my dreams, desires, wishes, and hopes? Say yes, he can. But if I'm going to serve God the way that I need to, I can't focus on those things. I have to give them to him so that I can focus on my flock. Whether it's my flock at home, my flock here, focusing on fulfilling their desires and dreams and wishes and hopes and dealing with all the other things that the flock needs. I can't think about mine. I have to let mine go and trust that God loves me so much that he's not going to let those things just sit there. He's going to do something with them. And I believe he will. He does all the time. You know what that's called? Sacrificial love. If I stop thinking about Rick and start thinking about the flock, put all my interest, all of my focus, all of my everything into the flock, and I believe God's got all my stuff. He's got my stuff. And, you know, in a marriage, I know what God is doing. He's turning around and giving some of those things to Kelly and telling Kelly, okay, here's what I want you to do for Rick. And I believe that's what he's going to do, or however else he's going to meet those things. It's this heart that God is looking for. A heart that God desires each of us would have for our little flocks, however big they are. Now this series is going to be about unpacking what that means. So turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 This psalm has been the source of comfort for millions of people for thousands of years. It's remarkable to think about. Thousands of years people have been turning to Psalm 23, and millions of them have been comforted by it. And we're going to use it for the basis for the rest of the series. And there is a very useful little book on Psalm 23 that was written by Philip Keller decades ago, entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's a simple little read. You could probably read it in a couple of hours. I've ordered a bunch of copies of it, and I'll make them available once they get here for anyone who wants them. But let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 was written by David, King David, who was a shepherd before he became King David. Obviously, this psalm refers to the Lord Jesus. It is speaking of God the Son. Now, as we go through this, one of the things I'll be doing as we go through it, we're not going to start on that. We'll pick that up next month, so you have to come back. I don't know if we'll have pancakes next time, but come back. But I'll expand upon the Lord's care for us, because one of the fascinating things about being a shepherd of God's people, you're also one of the sheep. And so the Lord is caring for you, and then he's expecting you to take what he's giving you and then give it to others. And so while we are one of the sheep, God also calls us to shepherd. And so we're going to look at how God cares for us, but then also how that translates and is interpreted for our role as men who are shepherding God's people. For many men, this is going to require a paradigm shift. It required changing the way we think about a lot of things, starting with ourselves. Because maybe we would, if we were to describe my role in the world, I would have picked one of those three words and say, that's what I am. It may mean changing the way they view the people around you. We see people, we have ways of describing them. But part of being, I believe, what God would call us to be is I need to start looking at people and groups of people differently. For example, my family. Family is a great word. But do I see them as a flock? As a flock that God has entrusted to me. They're his people. Let's not miss that. All people are God's people, and those that God's entrusted me never stop being his people, but he's given me a responsibility to be the human shepherd of them. He's calling us to care for our flock in all the ways that that means, all the ways that God is describing, and the way that we'll see as we unpack this psalm, all the ways that we see that a shepherd would care for his flock. What would he do? How would he do it? How does that apply to me as a man, as a husband, as a father, as an employee, as a student, as a retiree? I don't know. Pick something. Pick some definition of what we are. How do I be a shepherd in that? Now, this might be a brand new concept to some. That's okay. We're going to take our time and figure it out together, because I'm guaranteeing none of us have got this mastered. None of us have. And we're going to see how all the other titles that we might use for a man, how all of them are wrapped up in this one, the idea of being a shepherd. We got to see ourselves that way. And I'm going to leave you with three quick things. First, pray. Well, almost all of them involve praying. Pray for your role as a shepherd. Ask God to start opening up your heart, to start so that you would start seeing yourself. Now, because what we don't want, because there's only two options, according to Jesus. You're either a shepherd or what? A hireling. I don't want to be a hireling. A hireling, I don't believe, is fulfilling God's calling upon my life. And so I want to examine my heart. I want to ask the question, am I a shepherd? Maybe not a great one. Maybe not one that's even remotely close to being the kind of shepherd that I should be. But the real test, do I care? Do I care about the flock? Do I care about the flock that God's entrusted to me? If the answer is yes, then okay, I'm a shepherd. Yeah, maybe not a very good one, but I'm a shepherd. Now, if I don't care, I don't care what happens to them. I don't care, you know, if they, you know, go do your thing, go ahead, whatever you want to do. That's not a shepherd. A shepherd cares. So pray. Ask God to start opening your heart to this so that you can, when you take that time to examine yourself, which you ought to, you can confess before God, God, I am a shepherd. I care. I mean, again, you may not be very good at it. That's okay. That's why we get together and talk about these things. Second, ask God to change your view about the people around you. Who should we care about? We should care about the people God cares about. Well, who is that? Everyone. Everyone. Now, we need to start close to home. There's no question. We need to start close to home. And I would say that most of us would say we care about our wives, we care about our kids, we care about, you know, our extended family, hopefully. But we might get a little kind of fuzzy if we get much further than that. And God would ask us to start to care more and more and more. Ask God to help you to see those around you, especially those that God has put you into a place of any kind of influence, as someone you should be caring about and caring for in whatever way it's possible to do that. Ask him to reveal to you if you've acted like a hireling around them. Because if you have, you need to repent. Because that's not what God created you for. He didn't create you, man of God, to be a hireling. He created you to be a shepherd. What are you? It's a simple enough question. And today, I'm guessing, if we were to, you know, go around the room, if I asked you, you would say with some degree of confidence, I hope, I am a shepherd, right?
Right.
Thank you. I got one. It's a simple enough question. It's the answer that we will wrestle with for a long time. Many of us may have some really big things we need to wrestle through to finally get to the place where we're actually shepherding. And that's okay. You've got to start somewhere. And God loves it when his people, when they get to this place and they realize, wait a minute, I never saw myself as a shepherd. Doesn't mean you weren't doing the work of a shepherd, but I never saw myself that way. And you make that commitment. God, okay, I never saw myself that way. I need to start. And God honors that when we finally get it. And here's the thing for me, and maybe it's because God has given me the heart of a shepherd, because it's not even about me. It's about the flock. Because, yes, allowing God to minister to me about what it means to be a shepherd will change me, will transform me. But that's not about me. It's about those that I will then shepherd. They're the ones that we should care about. Now, I recognize I need to change so that I can have that influence on them. Everyone that God has ordained for you to minister to. God would call you to care for them, whatever that means. And again, every circumstance is going to be different. Every situation is different. Boaz sitting here, you know, needs to care about his siblings. He needs to shepherd his siblings. That means you don't get a big stick and start banging on them, okay? Just make sure. You know, all of us. It doesn't matter what environment you are. You know, we need to learn what it means to shepherd those that God has put around us. And it's something we can do. And if we do it, the results are going to be sweet, beautiful, fruitful. And God is going to be honored. Faith is going to grow, and people will be blessed. Amen? Men, shepherd the flock. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. We ask, Heavenly Spirit, Holy Spirit, that you would minister to each of our hearts about what this is. And I pray that no one leaves this time feeling convicted or condemned. Well, there may be a place for some amount of conviction. Lord, I believe this is an opportunity for us to grow in our faith in such a way that it will bear amazing fruit in those around us. Lord God, we as we approach spring, and before long, we're going to see life. Well, we're already seeing life springing back. I was noticing my grapevines are bursting into leaf already. Lord, I know that if we will allow Holy Spirit, you do that work in us, that life will burst forth, not just in us, but in those around us. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, have your way with us, with all of us, that you would move and that you would do that work of transformation. And as we continue in this series, that we would continue to grow in our faith and the fruit would be born, not just for us, but for those around us, and not just even for them, but for the generations that will follow because of it. I thank you, Lord God, for your love, for your grace and mercy, for your word, Lord God, so powerful, so transformational. Lord, I thank you most especially for your son, who because of him, we know what the good shepherd is. We know who the good shepherd is, and we have an example to follow. And so I pray, Lord God, help us to be the men you created us to be shepherds, and help us to care for your flock. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We lift this up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for joining us as we grow together through the series Shepherd, Reclaiming Man's Role in the World. It's our hope that these messages will help you to grow in your faith. If you have questions or there's anything that we can help you with on that process, please don't hesitate to connect with us. Go to calvaryfv.com/connect to find all of the ways that you can connect with us. As Christians, we are all connected in Christ. And one of the ways that we stay connected or that we help each other is in prayer. So please let us know how we can be praying for you. Send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com or text the word pray to 951-419-5396. If this teaching has been useful to you, please share it with someone, like it, subscribe, all those things that we do to connect. Also, please pray that God would use these messages to help others grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. You can also partner with us financially by going to calvaryfv.com/give or text the word give to 951-419-5396. Until next time, go be radical with Jesus.